This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Always love catching up with my guy Logan Paulson. Always a good conversation. We'll play you part three of the conversation tomorrow night here on Overtime as we enter the final hour of Power. Maryland basketball right now in full swing as they're on the road taking on Nebraska, trying to make it two in a row. And I'll say this about this Maryland basketball team as we continue to work our way through the final hour of the show here. I was saying it to the guys in studio here. I think come March, they're going to be a problem. They will be a difficult out in the NCAA tournament because of their ability to shoot the ball from beyond the arc. Selton Miguel, Rodney Rice, Gillespie, all of those guys can shoot the ball from beyond the arc. And I think come tournament time, man, that is going to be their cheat code, so to speak. I think defensively, when you've got a front court of Julian Reese and Derek Queen, I think it's as good as anybody's in the country. I know Reese can switch out on the guys. I'm pretty sure that's not the specialty of one Derek Queen in terms of being in high ball screen action and being forced to switch onto a guard. Not the quickest guy in America, but I look at them come tournament time, as a group that really is going to be a difficult out. My only thing is this, for whatever reason, and Ben, you can probably speak to this better than I can. I look at Kevin Willard-led teams and the way that they perform in the second half of basketball games. That, to me, is probably my big concern the rest of the way, as they got some big-time games coming up. I can't wait till Michigan State comes to town. That's what I'm really looking forward to. But the second half of games for this group has been a real issue. Is it something that you see continuing throughout the duration of the season, or does this team get more mature? I don't even know if it's on the players. I think it's the Kevin Willard thing.
I think you're right, Linnell. And last Thursday, actually, yeah, against Ohio State.
You saw it.
I was watching that game. And the first half, everything's going great. You're like, wow, Maryland's playing well on the road. Rodney Rice starts the game off hot. The team starts off 7-for-7. And then Ohio State just goes on a run at the end of the first half. You're like, I don't really like that. Yeah. That's why is this a game right now? Ohio State's not very talented. Bruce Thornton's a great player.
Yeah.
But Buckeyes don't have too much else.
No, they don't.
And the whole second half, it's a 10-point game, an 8-point game, and you're kind of just thinking to yourself, I feel like I've seen this story before.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen this with Willard. I feel like I know what's about to happen. And
to me, it's the turnovers.
The game, it runs around, and Ohio State ends up winning the game, and you're just like, okay.
And, yep, and you get to call these things.
Yep.
As I look at it, because I watch Terps basketball as much as anybody, turnovers and bad offense down the stretch. Like, that's where the problem lies. Their offense down the stretch stinks.
For some reason, they're very prone to long periods of offensive stagnation.
Yes.
I'm not sure what it is. They play defense. They play with their hair on fire on defense, and that's always been the case with Willard, even back to his days back at Seton Hall.
Mm-hmm.
However, his teams have just lacked the ability to be consistent offensively, especially from beyond the arc, which is where they're much better this year. You have guys like Selton Miguel, and if they contribute, because that guy's a bucket getter.
Yeah.
I got a stat for you. They're 12-1 in games this year where he's hit multiple three-pointers. The games where he's been quiet, i.e. the Ohio State game last week, he only had 7 points. That's usually where they struggle. He's kind of the X factor for me. He's already got 2 threes in this one, so if you're a Maryland fan, you might be able to feel
good
about that.
Right? I'm about to say, let me go slam the money line real quick.
I don't know about all that.
They're currently up. It's tied at 25 apiece. 7:20 left to go in the opening half. DQ off to a good start. 10 points, 4 rebounds. When we come back, we'll go around the National Football League next here on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Quick update for you on the Terps. They're up 32-30 on the road against Nebraska. Derek Queen leading all scorers with 12 points. Juwan Gary leading all scorers for Nebraska. Should be a good one, man. Terps and Cornhuskers had a good one about 2 weeks ago from the Xfinity Center where that game ended up going down to the wires. So we'll see how this one ultimately finishes out. I have 40 minutes left to go in the program with you. I told you I wanted to go around the NFL here in this segment. There's been a lot of talk and discussion about what is next for now, I guess, former Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers. And we discussed this briefly last night. The news of them parting ways with Rodgers became official today. And I think, you know, as we continue to move throughout this offseason, he's going to find a home. I don't subscribe to the notion that, oh, Aaron Rodgers should retire. See, that I'm not a fan of. That I'm not a big fan of. I think Rodgers, from a production standpoint, obviously last year was rough for him. But I think there were some starts for him last year where you go, that's why he's choosing not to hang it up. And obviously we don't know what the decision is going to be yet for Aaron. But there were games last year where it was very evident that, hey, there's still some gas left in the tank. Their December 8th matchup on the road against Miami, 27-39, 339 yards and a touchdown. Thought he played pretty damn well in that game. The next week against Jacksonville on the road, 17-30, 289 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. The season finale against Miami, 23-36, 274, 4 touchdowns. They had a game at home in the cold against L.A. Talking about the Rams, 28-42, 256, and a touchdown. There is gas left in the tank. You're not going to convince me that all of a sudden, physically, Rodgers has fallen off of a cliff. It ain't the same. There is a difference. He's not as mobile as he once was, but you put him in an ideal situation where there's an actual supporting cast around him, then I think he'll be all right. When I talk about supporting cast, you know what's most important, the offensive line. Like, he goes to somewhere where they can actually protect him, then I'm all for it. I'm just not sure really what this is moving forward. Like, I don't know where his ideal destination is. Pittsburgh continues to be brought up as a destination. I don't know how much I buy that. One destination that came up earlier today, and I wonder if he and the coach could coexist. What about Aaron Rodgers in Tennessee with the Titans? People are probably thinking, oh, what? Why would the Titans pass on a quarterback at the top of the draft? Well, their roster, and I know this because I was the idiot last year that was championing for Tennessee more than anybody, their roster, actually not that bad, right? Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears, good running back duo, Calvin Ridley, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Tyler Boyd. Now, obviously, Westbrook-Ikhine and Boyd free agents, but you do what you can to bring those guys back. Their offensive line is what I like. They go out and get Lloyd Cushenberry via free agency. J.C. Latham in his rookie year I thought was pretty good. The big fella, local cat, Jalen Duncan out of Maryland, I thought gave them some really good play in the sixth round and ended up being their starting tackle by the end of the season. Peter Skoronski, we all know how I feel about him, just a people mover. So, it's not a bad group, but I don't know if it makes a ton of sense for Rodgers. I have a wild card destination for Aaron Rodgers that, like, clearly jumps off the page to me as a destination where he can go and have instant success. What team has been a quarterback away more than the Indianapolis Colts? Could you see Aaron Rodgers in Indy with Jonathan Taylor and Shane Steichen and their trio of wide receivers, Josh Downs, Alec Pierce, Pittman, Adnate Mitchell? They got guys. The O-line isn't bad, spearheaded by Ryan Kelly and Quentin Nelson. Defense, they're a really damn good group. I don't know. It's interesting to me what happens with Rodgers, because I continue to believe he's got something left in the tank. The kid can still play. I'm talking about the kid. The old man, I think, can still play. When we come back, the best audio of the afternoon coming your way. Dak Prescott said what? And then Kellen Moore lying his ass off in his introductory press conference. That comes your way next. Terps basketball getting ready to enter the half. So they're up. Well, they already have hit the half. They're up 7 on Nebraska as they try to make it 2 in a row and improve their conference record to 9-5 on the year. Mentioned Derek Queen, the high man, 12 points, 6 boards, 3 turnovers for the big fella. I want to clean that up entering the second half. Selton Miguel, though, Taki hot from beyond the arc, 3-5 for the Terps. Jacoby Gillespie also shooting the cover off the basketball as well, man. 8 points, 4 assists, 2-for-2 from the great beyond for him. As Maryland up 7 on Nebraska, Terps came into this one ranked 25th in the country. Hopefully, I think you finish out the regular season strong here and go on a run coming up here in March. I mentioned I wanted to continue to go around the National Football League. The coaching carousel finally stopped spinning, and it landed on Kellen Moore being the final head coach hired. He takes over the job in New Orleans for the Saints. If you listened to us yesterday, I was very open, honest, and transparent about it. It is the worst job in the National Football League. I don't remember the last time a head coach opening was this terrible, as New Orleans, not a lot of money to work with. They're over the cap, and their quarterback situation is up in the air as well. Kellen Moore doing his best to try and explain what's going to happen with Derek Carr next year.
You mentioned talking about the cap situation, one of those cap hits, and guys prevalent with that is obviously quarterback Derek Carr. What do you think about him when looking at his tape, and do you view him as being the week one starter for this team with you as head coach?
Yeah, Derek's a tremendous quarterback in this league. I've had so much respect for him, the journey that he's been on. He's a starter in this league. He's a premier player in this league. He's had a great journey, obviously going from Fresno State to the Raiders and now here. Really excited to team up with him and go through this process. And so just like any player on this roster, I just got here a few days ago, and I'm excited to go through this journey with all of them.
Following up on Derek, do you view that as you guys have a decision to make at quarterback, or you view it as Derek Carr as quarterback?
I view it as Derek Carr is a tremendous starting quarterback in this league. We're fortunate to have him, and we're excited to go through this process, as we build this roster together. Again, I'm meeting these guys for the first time in the last few days. Really excited to meet more of them, and this will be a lot of fun.
Yeah, Kellen Moore pretty much saying, yeah, if I had it my way, probably wouldn't be our guy, but do we have any other options? Talking about veteran quarterback Derek Carr, the ironic part about the Saints finishing 5-12 is they started off 3-0 last year. Like, New Orleans came out guns a-blazing, or 2-0, rather. They should have been 3-0, but they choked down the stretch against Philadelphia. You make the case they should have been 4-0 to start. 3-point loss at home to Philly in week 3, and then at Atlanta in week 4, they lose by 2. The reason I wanted to play that clip is about Derek Carr. Where does Derek Carr fit into the Saints' long-term plans? I don't think he fits at all. Derek Carr is set to be 34 this year. Missed 7 games a season ago. Injuries have kind of been a part of his story throughout his career. When he was healthy, he didn't play bad. I just don't know if you're Kellen Moore. Do you want to start off your tenure as head coach with him under center? As crazy and as dishonest as Kellen Moore was at the podium, Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott was actually brutally honest at the podium about where the Dallas Cowboys stand. I said brutally honest. Maybe he's just crazy.
In that level. I mean, I feel like we compete with the Eagles and beat them for the most part when we played them. I don't want to say check the record when they're the guys holding the trophy right now. So credit to them. They've earned it and they deserved it by all means. But, yeah, very close. Especially when you even watch the NFC game, the NFC Championship. And those two teams that we battle against each and every year a couple of times. And as I said, feel confident about we've gotten a better part each and every time. To see them, to see it in such a dominating fashion, credit to them. It's our turn and it's on us. All right.
That was Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott trying to reason with the Dallas media as to why the Cowboys are close. I'll tell you why the Cowboys aren't close. They had one of the worst point differentials in the National Football League. It was 6th worst at minus 118. They were 2-7 at home and just not a very competitive group. Obviously, not having Dak under center really stresses who they are as a football team, but to say that they're close to Washington or Philadelphia, not ideal. Talk a little bit of Wizards coming up next. Bijan Todd from the Monumental Sports Network joins us next. Welcome back. It is overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey apps. The youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Right now, we go out to the Rude Guest Hotline, where we find one of my absolute favorites talking all things Washington Wizards. Wizards reporter for the Monumental Sports Network, my pal Bijan Todd. You can give him a follow on the X app at Bijan underscore Todd. That is B-I-J-A-N underscore T-O-D-D. What's going on, Bijan? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well, Linnell. I feel like as a city, we're just kind of collectively sad now that the Eagles are two-time Super Bowl champions, but we persist.
You know, full disclaimer, because I'm going to pull the curtain back for him, Bijan. He was giving me crap before the interview even started, and now we bring it to the airwaves. I expect nothing less from you, my friend.
It's not crap, man. We're all in this together, you and me.
We're all in this together. That's how a raunchy of a radio program I'm doing is that I'm singing mid-interview. I appreciate you giving us some time, as always, my friend. One of my absolute favorites to catch up with on the old Washington Wizards. I was saying it to you before we started. Me and you, two younger guys, but, you know, our fans of the Washington Wizards also cover the Washington Wizards. I would describe this current stretch of basketball, and I'm going to go back to the last six games, I think, is accurate and fair. It's probably the most fun I have had watching this group in a really, really long time. I'm talking like 2017 postseason type. So what have you seen from this group post-deadline? And I guess what has been the most impressive thing that you've seen from this group?
I agree with you, Linnell. I think they're coming out with a whole new energy. And as cliche as this sounds for me to say, mm-hmm. I do think a lot of it is mental because, you know, the trade deadline has passed. Guys can rest. They can breathe. Jordan Poole, for example, like he didn't know if he was going to be traded. He probably was thinking about that a little bit. Now that he can relax a little bit and he can get his feet under him, he can just play ball like he was before. The young guys are still in town. They're starting to get their legs under them a little bit. And also, like, when you go through two different 16-game losing streaks in one season, I'm sure it's very tough to kind of come out of that mentally, but they stacked their wins together, right? They came out of those 16 games. They won three straight. Now they've lost four since then, but all those games have been competitive, right? Yes. They weren't really blown out in any of the games. They lost by, 14 to Atlanta on Saturday, but that was the worst loss they took, right?
And you kind of saw how that one got away from them at the end. They, like, to your point, though, they were competitive for four quarters, damn near, so.
Absolutely. And you know what I like about this current stretch is that over their last, four games, they've had three different leading scorers in those games. Yeah. Poole has led the team twice. He dropped 42 last game and then 45 against Cleveland. Bub Carrington led him against Atlanta, and Tristan Vukovic chipped in 18 against San Antonio on Monday. So the wealth is being spread a little bit more. I think guys are starting to get some more run. Vukovic is one of them. Mm-hmm. So when you can spread the wealth and everybody eats, as John Wall used to say, I think it helps out the entire organization. I think guys are starting to feel that.
Bijan, you mentioned Tristan Vukovic, and I'll be honest with you, I kind of forgot about Vooch, man. I know last summer he was really a revelation. Why is he just now kind of getting into this rotation? I know there was some discussion about, you know, the conditioning at the go-go level. What have you seen from him over this first half of the season? And do you anticipate, you know, his minutes continuing to go up?
I do anticipate them to go up, and I think, you know, part of the reason that he's in playing more games right now is purely logistical. Like, Alex Saar has missed the last couple games before last night with his ankle injuries. Jonas Valanciunas is no longer here. So purely from a personnel standpoint, Vukovic is needed for the Wizards to space the floor and give them a bit of outside shooting when Alex Saar is out. And he's also dealt with a little bit of injuries himself, right? Like, he had that ankle injury in January. Before that, he was dealing with a knee injury. He dealt with an ankle injury last year. And so his health just kind of fluctuated up and down. But yeah, Now that he seems to be fully healthy, knock on wood, he's contributing. You know, he's spacing the floor. He had a heat check, I remember, against San Antonio where he pulled up from like 30 feet and he knocked it down in transition. And the clock was not running down. So that was purely a confidence shot. And it's nice to see. You know, this is the reason that the Wizards drafted him, took a flyer on him in the second round, was for that versatility. And I think he proved himself on the go-go as being a player who they can rely on. And so the Wizards saw that, and Brian Keefe probably thought, hey, when this guy's healthy, let's just bring him on board and let's see what he can do. You know, it's a credit to the go-go as well. And by the way, Linnell, I shouted you out yesterday on Grand Danny during the Beltway Blitz because we were talking about Justin Champagne.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh yeah, Linnell Willingham and I have talked about how if you prove yourself to be worthy in the G League,
yes,
and you earn your minutes in the NBA, Brian Keefe has been showing that that is a reason why you're going to get more playing time going forward. So both him, Vukovic, and Champagne are testaments to that for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it speaks to the importance of the minor league club, the G League squad, rather, in the go-go. And I think, you know, the more examples we see of Tristan Vukovic and Justin Champagne, I think, you know, as we alluded to a couple of months ago, it motivates those other guys to go, hey, if I bust my ass down here, you know, I'm bound to get my opportunity with the big guys. One guy I want to ask you about in particular that I have just been super impressed with, and I think he is my favorite young guy right now, Bub Carrington, Bijan, has just been spiritually what this basketball team needs. And I'm not trying to get religious here when I say that, but like just the energy and the toughness and the grit that he plays with, a guy that is a Baltimore native, a graduate of St. Francis Academy, tough on the AAU level, someone that's had a lot of success there. When you've gotten the chance, as you've gotten the chance to watch him over the first half of this season, are you surprised by anything with Bub? Because I continue to feel like, man, the more and more we see him, is this the point guard of the future here in D.C.?
I'm not surprised at all. Like, I knew coming out of college that, number one, his mid-range game was the best aspect of his offensive game, and he's knocking those down. He's becoming like a young Sean Livingston. I love to see it. But no, I'm not surprised. And again, it goes back to the trade deadline, like him not having consistent minutes, starting, coming off the bench, and everything fluctuating like that. Now that he has a more stable environment to kind of play in, he's really taken advantage. And, you know, looking at his stats, he shot 36% from the field in January. Mm-hmm. In February, out of nowhere, well, not really out of nowhere, I mean, we could see it coming, but in February, he's shooting 53% from the field and 50% from three. He is knocking down his shots, and he's also put up double figures in his last five games. So it might be a confidence thing, but it might be a, hey, I'm a rookie, I have something that I need to prove this season thing. He came out of Pitt as a combo guard, and with Jordan Poole, I think they complement each other really well. It'll be interesting to see, though, when Marcus Smart comes back, if he's going to still start at the two, or if maybe they're going to stagger him and Marcus Smart, have Bub come off the bench and have more on-ball work. But either way, like post-trade deadline, he is proving that he could be that point guard of the future, or at least be part of that backcourt duo with Jordan Poole. And again, that dog toughness is just a little bit of sugar on the top of the cake, because he's proving that toughness is something that will keep you on the floor. So he's basically proving that was one of the reasons why the Wizards wanted to trade for him on draft night, and he's proving that was a good decision.
Yeah, I think we knew he could fill it up, right? Triple-double in his first career game at Pitt. Obviously shot the ball well from the perimeter last year. The defense, to me, is what's been impressive, the most impressive thing, Bijan, because a lot of times with young guys, man, like you say, confidence is a big thing.
He does not lack confidence. There's a fearlessness that I think he plays with. And we're seeing it. He's jawing with every vet you could possibly jaw with this season. That competitive grit, though, man, I think is something that can, you know, permeate throughout the roster and ultimately ends up being contagious. It kind of brings me kind of big picture here, Bijan. Like, Will Dawkins has said it from day one. They want this to be a defensive-minded basketball team.
Mm-hmm. With guys, 100%.
Yes, with guys like Bub Carrington locking up on the perimeter, Keyshawn George and his defense, we'll get to him in a second, has been a godsend. And then you get big Eiffel back in there last night, blocking shots, altering things at the rim. How close do you think the Wizards are to setting that foundation of who they want to be culturally? Because you can talk about guarding all day long, but until you make the necessary personnel moves to improve the defense, it's kind of just lip service. I think that's something I'll be looking for here in the second half.
Me too. And to your question about how long it'll be or how far mm-hmm. they are in the process, they're on the way. Like, they've set the foundation that they want to be at least a versatile defensive team. Mm-hmm. That's why they keep acquiring guys and drafting guys who have positional size, like Keyshawn 6'7", Sar 7 feet, Bub is 6'4", AJ Johnson, who they just picked up, is 6'5", and he's a guard. So they have the physical tools to be a defensive-minded team. And I think, you know, going forward, it'll come down to reps. You know, as long as they keep guarding the best players on the opposing team, like Bilal Coulibaly has been doing for his whole career in D.C. You know, when you mentioned Bub guarding the best player, or like having those defensive assignments and jawing at people, I remember there was a play against Kevin Durant when the Suns were here mm-hmm. a couple weeks ago. He prevented Kevin Durant from getting to his spot, and then he stripped Kevin Durant on his jump shot, and Kevin Durant's going, you know, where's the foul? I thought that was a foul. And Bub looked back at him going back up the court and was like, that wasn't a foul. And that's going up against Kevin Durant, right? So that kind of dog mentality came through. He's not afraid of anybody. He's made that very clear. And I think when him and Keyshawn George and Alex Sarr and a couple of the other young guys keep getting those reps in, their fear is going to keep going down and their talent's going to keep going up. You know, they know how to move their feet. Keyshawn's very fluid on the floor. So as the Wizards continue to acquire people over the next couple of years, I wouldn't be surprised if they keep going with positional size and versatility so that they can be that defensive-minded team over the next few years.
Confidence is a word that I keep using here, and I think it applies on the defensive end as well. But it's one thing to be, you know, have internal motivators, right, Bijan? But having other guys be able to talk to you and get you revved up a little bit, it brings me to Jordan Poole and kind of the role of connector, as I'm calling it, that he has played within this roster this year. I noticed it from the first game I was out at Cap One this year, the home opener, just watching the guys interact with JP in the locker room and warming up and the trash talk and just the good lighthearted fun that they seem to be having within that locker room. We know, Bijan, last year Jordan was highly scrutinized. The mm-hmm. shot selection wasn't very good. The effort was questionable a ton of times. When you look at the way he's performed this year, maybe not on the court, obviously shooting it well, but when you look at him on a day-to-day, out at practice, in the locker room, what has really stood out to you and how impressed have you been with what he's been able to provide from a leadership standpoint?
Yeah, man. People need to remember he's only 25, right? And
right.
he got into
yeah.
that whole kerfuffle with Draymond Green in his last year in Golden State, and people were saying that was going to mess him up mentally, and he would never get back to the level that he was at. But here he is, you know, dropping 42 points in a game against the Pacers this week. And we saw it last year, Linnell. We saw like the first thing he did when he got to the Wizards locker room was that he put his locker right next to Bilal Coulibaly, mm-hmm. right? He wanted to help those guys assimilate into the NBA. And people keep talking about it. You know, like AJ Johnson was talking about this in his first press conference last week. Like, yeah, me and Jordan work out at the same gym over the summer a lot, and I get a lot of FaceTime with him, and I love hanging out with him. And Jordan Poole brought all the Wizards last summer to work out with him. I believe it was in Miami. So he is building that kind of rapport with his new team. And, you know, last year I understand the scrutiny for a shot selection and for this and for that on the court. I just personally never understood anybody saying that he wasn't a good voice in the locker room, because you and I saw it, right?
Right.
We were in those locker rooms post-game. He was encouraged encouraging his teammates. We see it on the bench and everything. He is always a voice in their ear. And again, he's only 25, so to have that kind of vet mentality at that age is very impressive. And it's going to continue. You know, the team is going to keep getting younger. They got two first-round picks coming up over the next two drafts, so that's going to continue. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, how his role kind of keeps evolving as being that main locker room voice. And I think the team will be happier for it.
Last night, the starting five, Bub, JP in the backcourt, Bilal at the three spot, and then Keyshawn and Alex Saar in the front court. Do you expect that to remain the starting five throughout the remainder of the regular season? And then I'm going to ask you to put your head coaching hat on for a second here.
Oh, boy.
When Chris Middleton and Marcus Smart come back, I've said it on the radio over the past couple of days, I love what they bring as vets in terms of like continuing to help the young guys grow and develop and show them how to be a pro. But man, I don't know if I would be okay throwing them in the starting lineup right off the rip, because I think this five that we saw out there last night really can build some synergy and be a good group post All-Star break.
And I remember the first game of the season, Linnell. The starting five that we saw last night was the same starting five we saw in game one with Poole, Carrington, Koulibaly, Keyshawn, and Alex Saar. And I was like, is this the lineup that Wizards fans want to see for the entire season? And everyone on Twitter was like, yes, just give the rookies some playing time, please. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't know if this is what's going to happen after Chris Middleton and Marcus Smart come back. If I had to guess, I'm assuming Brian Keefe is going to insert Chris Middleton right into that starting lineup, and Keyshawn George might be coming off the bench. What's going to be interesting to see is how he deals with Marcus Smart, right? And we mentioned this a minute ago with Poole, with Bub, with Marcus Smart. How do you dole out minutes? I find it hard to believe that all three of them would ever share the court at the same time.
Right.
But Marcus Smart's a dude who can really teach Bub things on the defensive end, having that defensive player of the year already under his belt. We'll see how those minutes end up shaking out. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if Marcus Smart ends up starting for at least a few games after he comes back after the All-Star break, and Bub comes in off the bench so that he can get more on-ball work at point guard. But we'll see how it shakes out. And, you know, you asked me to put my coaching hat on. I'm not sure anybody wants that. If I'm going to venture a guess. I would personally see whether or not Keyshawn George would start over Chris Middleton, because the whole thing leading up to the deadline was, oh, Kyle Kuzma's minutes are kind of eating into Keyshawn George's minutes. And then Kyle Kuzma gets shipped off. Keyshawn George gets a lot more playing time, and he's putting up, you know, 16 points, 15 points, 17 points in pretty much every game since then. So his minutes, I think, are going to be the most dependent on whether or not Brian Keefe wants to start Chris Middleton. And, hey, we could see Chris Middleton and Keyshawn George on the floor at the same time. I wouldn't be surprised to see that either. It'll just be interesting to see, and I think Brian Keefe and Will Doggins have a good idea of what it's going to look like post All-Star break.
I'll let you go on this, my friend, as I've eaten up so much of your time. I appreciate you making some time for
Anytime,
us.
Anytime, man.
You mentioned 25-year-old Jordan Poole. I tweeted it out last night. Is he and Bub the backcourt of the future? Let's eliminate Bub for a second. How likely do you think it is at this point that Jordan may be a part of their long-term plans? Because he's 25, and for my money, watching it closely, he's only getting better.
He is getting better. He's showing that. I'm looking at his contract right now, right? Mm-hmm. So he's signed through the 2026-2027 season. So after this year, he's got two more years left. He's going to be making $31 million next year and $34 million the year after that. I can't put myself in the shoes of a Will Dawkins to see what he wants to do, but I mentioned this yesterday on Grant and Danny. If Will Dawkins and the Wizards front office were looking to trade him, this past deadline would have been the time to trade him, right? Because you would have been selling high. You would have been selling him at the peak value of what he was as a player, even higher, I would say, than when it was when he won a championship in Golden State, because now he's leading a team,
right,
and he's the starting point guard, and he's dropping 40 a night. Recently, at least. So if they were going to sell him, I find it hard to believe that they would try to do that now after this past deadline. I think they view him as a piece that they want to continue to build around and have that veteran voice in the locker room that we mentioned.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, you know, he is making a lot of money, and Chris Middleton also is most likely to opt into his player option next year for $34 million. So money and the apron and the salary and all that stuff, the salary cap, will come into play. I can see Jordan Poole finishing out his contract here, though. You know, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent ahead of the 27-28 season. Until then, you know, I mean, this is just me speaking personally. Mm-hmm. I have gotten no word from anybody on this, but I would like to see him mentor Bilal and Bub and Keyshawn and whoever they draft in the top five this upcoming year, because, you know, you have championship experience, you're 25, you make a point to get to know the guys off the floor. I would not be surprised if he's the guard of the future here for Washington, along with Bub Carrington and everybody else going forward.
That is music to my ears, Bijan. We'll let you, you go like that? On that. I appreciate you giving us some time, my friend. We'll do it again soon. Enjoy the All-Star break, my man.
You too, Linnell. I'll talk to you soon, man. Have a good one.
Appreciate you. That is one of the absolute best talking all things Washington Wizards. My guy, Bijan Todd of the Monumental Sports Network. Make sure you check out his work at monumentalsportsnetwork.com. He's got a feature out right now on Wizards rookie A.J. Johnson, the young man that was acquired at the trade deadline. Bijan didn't even plug it, but he's got a big story coming out on Marcus Smart tomorrow as well. So make sure you keep it locked on the Monumental Sports Network. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. More overtime here on The Fan.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.